This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. As soon as the end of this year, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, could stop accepting the Texas driver's license as a valid form of identification and prevent you from boarding an airplane. Texas is one of a group of about 30 states and U.S. territories that have not complied with a federal Real ID Act, a law passed in 2005. Some have objected to the Real ID Act as a way to create a national identification card. They've also been critical of it as a further erosion of our national liberties. And it could be another way that the Department of Homeland Security could gather, sift, and store massive amounts of information about law-abiding citizens. Edward Hasbrook is a privacy activist. He's the director of the Identity Project and the founder of PapersPlease.org.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about what's actually going on, which has been actively fostered by the Department of Homeland Security, which I think is trying to mislead both state legislators and the public about both what the Real ID Act requires and what the TSA requires at the airport. Although there's been a strong implication made that people will not be allowed to fly with ID from states that the DHS doesn't deem to have been sufficiently compliant with the Real ID Act, the fact is that no law or regulation requires any ID to fly, and that has been the and no court has ever upheld an ID requirement to fly. And the fact is that the TSA has procedures for people to fly without ID, that people do, in fact, fly without ID every day, whether because they've lost their wallet, it's been stolen, or they simply don't have any ID. And that's been the consistent position of the TSA in court, probably because they know that any attempt to assert an actual requirement for ID to fly in the face of a right to travel, and a right to travel by air, which is explicitly guaranteed by federal law, and is implicit both in the Bill of Rights and in international treaties, any attempt to assert a ID requirement would almost certainly be subject to legal challenge, and we would believe is very likely to be overturned. So people should not be alarmed by this implication. TSA has testified in court that the signs saying that ID is required don't actually reflect TSA policy or practice. And we've been getting, in response to our Freedom of Information Act requests, copies of the daily reports that the TSA itself keeps logging how many people fly without ID, showing that more than 95% of the people who show up at airports with no ID at all are in fact allowed to fly. And those who aren't probably have good cause for legal action against the TSA.
So there's a lot of places to go in this conversation. We'll try and cover as many of them as we can.
I'm sorry if this is going further afield.
These are areas that I do want to touch on, I want to get into. So let's talk about just quickly the right to travel. We have, as American citizens or legal residents, the right to travel within the borders of the United States without being impeded or being harassed and being checked, like what is your identification. Is that correct?
That's right. And that, as I said, is explicitly recognized in federal law as part of the Airline Deregulation Act. Airlines were allowed to set their own prices, but federal law reiterated that they had an obligation as common carriers to transport.
But that's also seen as a constitutional right that we have.
Well, you can find a right to travel, and the courts have found a right to travel in several places in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights. We would see it most explicitly in the First Amendment, the right of the people peaceably to assemble. To assemble, to come together, to move around. You can't assemble without moving to be in the same place.
If they say, well, you have the right to travel, but maybe you don't have the right to travel on an airplane. If you want to get to Phoenix so badly, you can walk there.
Well, I mean, in the first place, that's contradictory to the explicit federal law that recognizes a public right to freedom of transit through the navigable airspace, and specifically directs the TSA to take that right of travel by air into account in carrying out its operations and issuing its rules. The government has never asserted a general right to require ID for any mode of travel, frankly. But as for the argument that you can always travel by some other means, the TSA has stated its intention to apply screening similar to what it applies to airports to other means of travel. They're already doing it in some cases on trains and bus stations with roving squads that come in and screen people at those places. So the argument that these other means of travel are free from this kind of unlawful federal interference doesn't hold much weight there. And, you know, while it may seem plausible that you can get across the state of Texas without flying, although maybe not in time, try telling that to people in Hawaii who want to come to the mainland.
You're saying that you can travel, you can fly, even without an ID, recognized government ID, but it seems like you try to do that, it's not going to go smoothly at the airport. There is a factor of, like, it would be better to have an ID than to not have an ID.
Yeah. I think the real threat that's being made to try to scare state legislatures into implementing the Real ID Act requirements is not really that people will be prevented from flying, but that residents of those states will be harassed and delayed when they fly. Now, again, I think travelers who are harassed and delayed and whose rights are interfered with, even if they're not completely prevented from flying, will have good cause to challenge that interference in court and would likely be successful. And it's precisely because the federal government doesn't want to face that kind of litigation that they're trying to pressure states into going along with these demands, so that it doesn't actually come to a legal case that the federal government will probably lose.
Now, the head scratcher on this, when people read these stories that the TSA may start rejecting Texas ID, Texas driver's license at the airport, is like, well, what's wrong with the Texas driver's license? Is there some sort of flaw in its security? I just had to get one for my daughter, and it was a multiple week-long ordeal trying to get the documents put together so that we could prove who she was. There was no weakness in providing that as a secure ID.
Well, let me make 2 points about that, and you can pick and choose what you want to use here. One point is that the difficulty and the time delay in getting any kind of state ID, including in Texas, as you just said, replaced is part of the reason why requiring ID would be such an interference with people's rights. I was just at a funeral over Christmas for the mother of one of my friends. And my friend had learned that her mother was dying the day after she'd lost her wallet. If she had had to wait around before she got her driver's license replaced, or if she'd had to take a bus across the country or drive, she wouldn't have seen her mother before she died. She was able to see her mother because she got on a plane that day with no ID at all. It really matters, actually, whether you're able to fly without ID, and it matters that it takes time to get an ID replaced. But to answer the more directly the question you asked, what's wrong with the ID? It's not about the ID. It's about the database. And that's the real concern of Homeland Security, is not the card, but the database. The most important requirement for compliance with the Real ID Act is that any state that wants to comply must agree to allow any other state or territory in the U.S. access to the entirety of its driver's license and state ID database for any purpose whatsoever. The idea is to enable the creation of what would be, in effect, a distributed national ID database, so that a single query to a national hub would be able to retrieve data from all of the state driver's license and ID databases. I was at a hearing in the Minnesota legislature yesterday on what it's going to do about Real ID, and most of the concerns being expressed by legislators in Minnesota about the implications of complying with Real ID were not about what effect it would have on the card issuance process or on the cards, but about the implications of letting go control of that state database for any kind of purpose that any agency of any other state wanted to make of it.
So this is another collision between our rights to privacy and the government's security.
Well, it's a collision between privacy and security only if you accept the idea that some security purpose is served by compiling or making nationally accessible state driver's license records about people who have neither been accused of any crime nor been the subject of a court order restricting their movements. The FBI already has a national database of people for whom there are arrest warrants, people against whom courts have issued restraining orders. Nationalizing access to state driver's license and ID data is about enabling dragnet tracking of innocent people, almost by definition.
Well, is this about immigration then?
Not really. We're talking, and we started this conversation talking about ID to fly on domestic flights, not about international travel, where in general passports, it's another can of worms, but in general passports are already required for international travel. That poses a different set of legal and practical and ID requirements. So no, it's not really about immigration at all.
What is the objection from Texas? I mean, Texas is usually a law and order state. Why would they put up a fight in not complying with this Real ID Act?
I don't think it's so much about law and order. I think it's, I have not spoken with legislators specifically in Texas, but to speak generally to the kinds of concerns that I've heard from legislators in a number of states and that have been voiced around the country, you know, for the last decade since this law was first proposed, it's not really about law and order, and it's not a partisan issue. The opposition has been very much bipartisan. It's about individual rights. It's about skepticism about control of information about innocent people, about how that might be disseminated and how it might be used. And Texas is certainly not alone here. It's not clear that any state has fully complied with the Real ID Act. What's happened is that the Department of Homeland Security has picked out certain states for its own political reasons that it believes it can intimidate one by one into agreeing to comply. And, you know, each of them is being told, oh, you're practically the only holdout, but that's not true. Now, for example, I'm from California. Department of Homeland Security has certified that California is making progress toward eventual compliance, whatever that means, even though there's no evidence that California, in fact, is or has any intention of complying with the Real ID Act requirements, and they would probably violate our state constitution in California. But California is too big for DHS to want to pick it for its first target. Why the DHS thinks they can mess with Texas, I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
So when we read news stories that the TSA could start rejecting the Texas driver's license by the end of the year, what are we to make of that? Do you think that is just bloviating?
Well, it's a mix of a deliberate scare tactic of disinformation by the Department of Homeland Security, which would much rather have state legislatures take on the work of implementing requirements that it could not impose by federal mandate than have to face, you know, litigation against the states or against individuals. It's combined with an understandable mistake on the part of a lot of people who take at face value these, you know, signs in the airport saying you must present ID and would have no reason to know that the TSA has, you know, testified in court that those signs are false.
So what do you recommend Texas and other states do? Just call the bluff and wait for a court case and take it up the chain and have the Supreme Court say this is a violation of the Constitution?
Well, I mean, states that are on record as not wanting to comply should be preparing to defend their residents in court if their residents' right to travel is interfered with by the federal government. At the same time, state legislatures in some of those states are working with their congressional delegation to try to get the Real ID Act repealed by Congress. And ultimately, States aren't willing to go along, that's, you know, one thing, one of two things is going to have to happen if states don't go along, which is either these requirements will be overturned by courts if the TSA actually starts trying to harass travelers, or Congress is going to have to repeal the act. Just yesterday, Senator and the one representative from Montana, one of the states that's where the legislature has been most clearly united in opposition to the Real ID Act, announced that they will shortly be introducing once again legislation in Congress to repeal the Real ID Act. And hopefully the legislators and the congressional delegation from Texas will get on board with that effort as well.
Edward Hasbrook is a privacy activist. He's the director of the Identity Project and the founder of PapersPleased.org. He's an outspoken critic of the Real ID Act and the TSA's claim that they could stop accepting the Texas driver's license, along with some other states' IDs, in order to allow people to fly domestically.